Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hey everyone, Pastor Kevin Radlin here. Just wanted to take a moment and let you know that every Friday we're going to give you a piece of the sermon from our Sunday service so that you can enjoy and see what we're doing here at Lighthouse Christian Church every week. So I hope you enjoy this and that it ministers to you today. Be blessed in the name of Jesus.
So today I want to talk to you about worship a little bit. I know we've talked about it a little before, but it's a little different spin. You guys ready? Lord, we just thank you. And Lord, we just pray that your heart would become our heart, that we would be worshipers of the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You, Jesus, are worthy of worship. You are worthy of everything that we could bestow upon you from our lives. And we're just so grateful to be a part of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Have you ever walked into, do you remember the first time that you walked into a worship service? Like a full-blown, they're worshiping God, everybody's locked in. People are like, they got their hands up in the air. They've got, you know, they're down on their knees. They're worshiping and they're singing. And I remember the first time I walked in and saw that, I was like, what's up with this? It's crazy in a way because you're looking at people and they're just like, they're locked in. They're always like, you know, they're up there and I'm like, you know, what are they doing? As a person that brought me, I'm like, what are they doing? I mean, think about this. Do you remember the first time that you experienced that? Why are their hands up? You know, I mean, some of them are, you know, they got their hands up and it's like T-Rex worship, you know, it's like, you know, because you know why people do that, right? Because their shirts are too messed up. If you lift your hands too high, then your belly shows. So I have to wear an undershirt for that, you know, just in case, you know, you don't want, can't be showing belly button in church, right? You know, but so they get the T-Rex hands up. It's like, praise you, Lord, you know, there's all the different types of hand motions for worship. But then, you know, you see some of them and they're on the floor. They're like laying there. It's like, are they tired? What's wrong with them? They're laying on the floor. I mean, and they're laying under the pews and under the seats sometimes. And then, you know, you look at them and they're looking up. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody's looking up and they're like, and you stop, don't you? And you're like, what is it? Then somebody else stops, and next thing you know, we try this later this afternoon. You guys got a good little group, right? All of you just stop in the middle of wherever you're at outside by the restaurant and just start going like this. Do it in a crowd, though, so that people will all gather around you, and they'll be like, what is it? Where? What? And that's kind of what I was thinking when I walked into that worship service. I'm like, do they see him? Right? Do they see him? And what is it that they're looking at? You know, their eyes are closed, but they're looking up. We're going to get to that. You see, I believe that that you see God in your heart and you're looking up because, you know, you're worshiping and you're seeing him for who he is, you know, and then others will bow down and it's because they know that Jesus is a king. Somebody say he's the king. He's the king of kings. You know, as I was thinking about that idea, even in the Dominican, of Jesus is the king of kings, I'm like, well, you know, yeah, Jesus is king over all of the earth and any other kings that there are in the earth. He's the king over them. But then God said, you're a king, and he's your king, because we're all kings and priests unto God, you know what I mean, and unto the world. So, you know, I've met kings. I've been to Africa, and I tried to blend in there, and it didn't go too well. I don't, you know. So there I am, trying to fit in, but I met a king, and everybody, when he walked in the room, they didn't get down on their knees, but everybody, you don't look the king in the eyes. You don't like, yo, what's up, king? Because that's what I was like ready to do, and they're like, don't do that. He's the king. I'm like, oh, sorry. I had to be taught posture before a king because I didn't know it. You know what I mean? So I think that's kind of what we're looking at today, is that we are going to talk about worship, and we're going to talk about the worship of a king and how we as worshipers need to posture ourselves before the King of Kings. Okay? So there's a word for worship in it, and it's the word is proskuneo. And it means to bow down to God or a king. And that's what the root word is for worship. It means to bow down to a king. You see, there is a kingdom that is here on the earth and is the kingdom of God. But then Satan has his kingdom as well. And he's trying to get people to bow down and to worship him in his kingdom. But see, the goal is that we as Christians would learn to differentiate and set ourselves apart from the things of this world, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all the other things would be added unto us. So our posture towards being in the presence of the king means everything in our life. You know, I looked at those kids, and they had nothing but worship and that adoration for Jesus, and that brought joy into their lives in the midst of horrible living situations and circumstances. And I felt the heart of God in that, and I felt like God said, you've got to help them. And then I said, you know, as I began to worship God myself, he's like, you got to help everyone understand that when they begin to worship the king, that I will supply all of their needs according to my riches and glory in my son, in Christ Jesus. Everything they need, every need they have, he said, I will supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So how do we tap into the resources of heaven and my resources that I need for my life? It's through worshiping the king. Because when you're worshiping the king, you come under his authority, and then all of the provisions of the king come into your life. And all of your needs can be met. He will supply all of them. But it's in Christ Jesus. So how do we get in Christ Jesus? We must learn to worship. And that means bowing our lives, bowing ourselves to the king. Not just bending a knee, but submitting our lives to the purpose of God. You see, we express our thankfulness and our awe to God when we worship. You know, do you believe that God is awesome? Then we worship him. That's what we do. It's our prayers. It's our songs that we sing. It's our service to the Lord and what we do for him and how we do things for him. And it's our giving and our sowing and everything that we have in our lives that we are willing to submit that to God. That is worship. An act of worship is submitting everything you are, everything you have, every resource within your capabilities to serve your what? King. The King of Kings is your king. You see, worship involves, it involves a spiritual intimacy, think about this, that sets all believers apart from any other gods that could be worshiped. There are people out there worshiping all kinds of things, calling them God, but you see, we are worshiping the King of Kings. He is God. And in doing that, we are unleashing the power of heaven into the world, into our own lives first, and then into the lives of others around us as we submit ourselves to this thing called worship. You know, I was a musician, right? Many of you know that already, but so when I started this whole Jesus thing, it was easy for me to tap into the music side of worship. I was like, oh, this is so cool. Yeah, I love playing music. I love to sing. I could get into all that, but, you know, because I was a heavy metal singer. I don't know if you guys know that, but bottom line is I played on Satan's worship team before I got into the kingdom of God. I was on his worship team. And I was good. It was not a good thing. But after getting saved, I actually learned that Satan was the worship leader in heaven. They said that if you read in Ezekiel and all the different descriptions of Satan, it says he had pipes coming out of him, that he was music. He was created as a being of worship. And you know what? He took that and he went too far with it. He saw that worship was, you know, so valuable and so powerful that he desired it for himself. And in doing that, he actually, you know, shut down heaven's worship, and he stole that, you know, and he fell from heaven. God said, you can't be like that. Boom. He said, you got to go. But see, Satan knows the power of worship. Think about that. He knows the power of worship. That's why he fell, because he desired to be worshiped himself. Okay? And that's the goal that he is setting before each and every one of us. Don't worship God. Don't worship the King of Kings. Worship yourself. Or worship me. And he's built this whole society around this idea of self-gratification, self-worship. Worship the devil, or don't call me that. It doesn't matter if you call me the devil. Worship anything but God. Because that's where the true power gets released. See, you know, if he can keep you from releasing the power that is released through worship into your life, he can keep you bound, can keep you locked up, can keep you in shackles. Did you realize that, you know, Satan wants worship and the world is giving it to him? It's through music. I mean, worship music for the devil looks like, you know, rap music. Do you realize how demonic the rap and the rock, that's right, you can go through them, the rock music and even the pop music, look, is all rooted in this, in secularism, and it's rooted in satanic worship. Yeah, you can take that down. We don't need to see that. But, you know, we don't look at music as worship many times. We're like, oh, I like that song. You know, I'm a heavy metal guy. I like Van Halen. I listen to Van Halen. But I got to understand that there is an element of worship in that music. There's an element of drive to do something that is not of God in that music. So I have to be discerning in what I'm putting into my mind, and I have to understand that what I'm listening to and why I'm listening to it and what is it creating in me, because music has the power of creation in it. It has the ability to create drive. It has the ability to bring us to a directive that is not necessarily of God, depending on the music you're listening to, where worship music for God has every bit of the same power to bring us into a directive towards God and to lean towards him and see his power released in our lives. This is powerful, guys. If we can learn to understand this, it will be life-changing for you. Because worship isn't just walking in here and singing five songs. It's life. It's every part of everything that we do. You know, worship can look funny to those who don't understand it. You know, it's like my buddy Jim with the metal buildings. You know, people think he's crazy because every bit of money he makes, he goes and buys another building and he puts it up in a third world country somewhere. And they're like, you're crazy, dude. What are you doing? You can't just spend all your money on doing that. He's like, yeah, I can. Why? How? Because he's worshiping the Lord with his resources, and God has called him to build metal buildings. So he's worshiping God by doing what he does and taking his gifts and his talents that he has. He's an inventor. He's a creator. He builds things. So he's building in the kingdom. He's not building in the world system. He's building in the king. So the world and the kingdom. So the world thinks he's crazy. If the world thinks you're crazy because of some of the things you're doing for God, you're right on track. You know what I mean? For real. We must understand the power that true worship and adoration for the Lord possesses. It unlocks things. It creates things. It changes things in the atmospheres around us. It shuts down the enemy. When you worship God alone in your life and you say, I'm not worshiping anything else. I'm not worshiping football teams. I'm not worshiping all this other stuff. I'm not going to worship all the secular music and the TV shows and the celebrities and everything that the world's pushing. I'm not going to worship that. I am going to set myself apart and I'm going to worship only Jesus. You will stand out in the world. Hey, we're going over here. Sorry, man, I don't do that. Hey, we're going to do it. No, I don't do that. I'm going to worship the King. I have to lay that down. I have to get rid of this. I have to stop doing that. I have to begin to position myself with the King and his purpose and his plan. And when I position myself with the King, the kingdom advances. Are you ready to advance the kingdom of God with your life? See, the worst thing that we can do is spend our lives on things that have zero significant spiritual value. You can do a lot of things in this world. You can do a lot of things in this life, but if none of them have significant eternal value, they're the part in that scripture that burn up. Do you want everything to burn up, but yet you knew Jesus, so you're still saved? Or do you want your life to have significance? And when I got stuff in my life, it's going to burn up. Don't think I'm like just pointing at you going, you need to get right. No, we all need to make sure that we are putting eternal significance into the things that we're doing. You could have the best business in the world, but if you don't take any of the resources of that business and use it for the kingdom of God, it's just a business and it's going to burn up one day. But if you take the resources of that business and you sow into the kingdom of God and you give and you release the anointing of your fruit of your labor into the kingdom of God, now you've got a business that is creating significance in the kingdom. Does that make sense? That's worshiping God with your business. It's no different for you with your life. You can go to school as you younger kids. You can go to school and you can spend all your time learning things of how the world works and what the world does and all of that stuff, and none of that will matter. But if you take Jesus to school with you and you see people get saved at your school, you see people begin to experience revival at your school, you begin to preach and share about Jesus with those around you, you join the Christian clubs, now you have created spiritual significance with your education. So plug anything into that. Well, I have a car. Well, use it for the kingdom. I have a bicycle. Use it for the kingdom. I don't know how, but figure it out a way. You know what I mean? Whatever it is, do it unto the glory of God. Use it for the kingdom. Find a way to worship God with everything about you. And you will find some of the greatest joy that you've ever experienced in your life. You know, I say this all the time. You know, I gave my stuff away so much. I just have a gift of giving. You know, it drives my family crazy. My kids are like, Dad gave away my surfboard. I'm like, I'm going to give you two more. Relax. But they're like, no, it was my surfboard. And, you know, they, it was theirs. I probably shouldn't have gave it away. Okay. It's like, you aren't using it. Okay. I'm going to put it in the kingdom. I'm going to turn it into giving. Right? But now I'm to the place where I've given away everything that I could give away of my own. I've given everything of my kids that they hate me for giving away. My wife, I gave my wife's first wedding ring away. She forgave me. I asked her first, but she was, you know, huh? Yeah, I'd already told the people. We could have bought something else, but she was like, whatever. She doesn't really sound like that. She was like, whatever. Right? You don't sound that way, right? But I'm so blessed now I give other people's stuff away. People call me and they're like, hey, man, I got some stuff. Can you come get it? And I'm like, I get 7 to 10 calls a week now to go pick up stuff from people. And because the blessing of the Lord is flowing in my life because of the giving, that's what happens. When you start to worship with what you have, God gives you more. And then he gives you other more and more and more and more. And before you know it, you're like, I don't even know how to keep giving. I got to give faster. I got to give quicker. I got to give bigger because otherwise I can't get rid of it. I don't have anywhere to store it all. That's how worship works. And I love it because it just socks the devil in the gut. It's a gut punch, the devil, man. Start worshiping. Take that, devil. I'm gonna worship Jesus. My car just broke down. My transmission went out. It's $2,800 to get it fixed. I'm gonna worship you, Jesus. I'm going to give you glory. You're going to supply it. You're going to bring it. You're going to make it. All things are going to work together for good because I love you and I'm called according to your purposes in my life. You know what? You got to turn it into worship. Whatever it is the enemy's throwing at you, say, I got something for you. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to bend my knee to the King again because he's got all the resources that I need. He will supply all of my needs. Life's hammering you. Some of you are getting hit with stuff, getting hit hard. The power of worship is going to pull you through. If I can get this through to you, if I can get you worshiping, depression can't stand in the presence of God in a worshiper. Suicide can't stand in the presence of worship to the King of Kings. Poverty can't stand in the presence of the King of Kings. And when you begin to worship and all the resources of heaven begin to fall on you, there is nothing that can stop it. When's the last time you just got alone in your room and lifted your hands, got on your knees and told God how much you love him? I challenge you to do that this week. The Bible says in Psalms 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Did I say it wrong? Yeah, we saw that. It's 105, yeah. It's clerical error. Who else noticed? My wife notices everything. Anybody else? Did you see it? Where's all the people that are like her? Come on, raise your hands. Who saw it? Yeah. No grace. Worship, people. No. Psalms 103:1. Let's move past that one. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So how many of you guys have breath? Did you get a mint when he came in to praise the Lord with? Because God loves your worship. But your neighbor, if you had the blueberry pancakes and you put extra garlic on them. Not so good for your neighbor. I'm kidding. But here's the deal. I really believe that worship has the power to break us free. What's got you, man? What's got you bound up? What are you dealing with? What's happening in your life right now? Whatever it is, worship has the ability to break it open, to throw that door open and let you free. I can prove it to you in Scripture. Let's read this. This is a story of Paul and Silas. It's in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 16 through 40. Ooh, we're going to read a long one. You guys ready? It's a story. I'll try to make good inflections to, you know, wake up the sleeping people. You ready? Once upon a time, no, I'm kidding. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. So she was a psychic.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.